Yes.
Now I think we can do a little better with an applause. Today is Resurrection morning. 2,000 years ago, the newspaper in Jerusalem headline was, or maybe, Jesus is risen from the dead. And here we are this morning after 2,000 years ago. We are here this morning because we are sure that Jesus rose from the dead. We are sure that Jesus lives. Yes. The pastor will be coming in a few moments. And I'm asking you, and he's going to beg you to. Time is short. If there's anyone here this morning, any woman, any boy, any girl, who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the opportunity will be given to you. Don't turn Jesus away this morning. You have seen the condition of the world. There's no other plan. And if you don't bow this morning, if you don't bow today, you are going to bow one day. For every tongue is going to confess, and every knee is going to bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So now, let us prepare our hearts. Keep the children quiet as the man of God comes. Yeah. Dr. Bunny.
Brother Leroy.
Amen.
Welcome back. Welcome back. That was beautiful, my brother.
Yes.
Beautiful. God bless you.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
God's not done with you until he's done with you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. What a joy it is to be in your presence. And Lord, I know you have a special message for us today. Speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
He lives. You didn't sound very excited about that. I said, he lives. Amen. It was Sunday, very early in the morning. And Jesus had been crucified on Friday and laid in a tomb. Pilate had the tomb sealed and placed a watch of Roman soldiers so that it could not be tampered with. For they remembered that Jesus had said that he would rise again from the dead on the third day. Sealing the tomb meant more than just rolling a big stone in front of it. But presumably they sealed it with the official Roman waxen seal in court, which would be broken if tampered with. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, arrived at the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But verse 2 of Matthew 28 tells us that there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled away the large stone and sat upon it. Verse 3 tells us that the angel shone like a bright light and his clothes were white as snow. Seeing this, the soldiers guarding the tomb became fearful, and trembling they fainted to the ground. They had good reason to fear. For you see, they were on the wrong side of God's plan. For his plan is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance through his Son, Jesus Christ. Those who have not received God's pardon for their sins have a lot to fear. Because there comes a day when each of us will stand before God and each accountable for his own soul. Matthew 25 from verse 31 says this: when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was 100 and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Amen.
Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall also they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The women, on the other hand, had nothing to fear, for they knew the Lord. Verse 5 says, And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Today we celebrate the risen Lord and an empty tomb. He lives. He lives, and because he lives, we too can live eternally. If only we receive the free gift of salvation, which he offers to us through his death on Calvary's cross, his burial, and his resurrection. My friend, that's the difference between Christianity and any other religion. We serve a risen Lord, one who is not dead, but alive.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say,
He's alive.
Yes, he rose from the dead. He appeared to many. He ascended into heaven, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. But he is coming again. For when he left, he said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And in verse 6 of John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For over 2,000 years, Many have tried to disprove the truth of Jesus' resurrection, but to no avail. As a matter of fact, most of the atheists who have set out to disprove the resurrection have ended up believing because of the overwhelming evidence. My friends, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are doomed and hopeless. If you look with me at 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 13, it says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Thank you, Lord.
My friends, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ did occur, it confirms his life, his message, and his atoning work. It is the basis for the hope of eternal life for the believer. Christ is alive. He lives, and the evidence is overwhelming. Let's take a look at the evidence. First of all, Jesus himself many times predicted his resurrection. Matthew 16:21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then in Mark chapter 9, verse 9, says, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Secondly, the tomb is empty and the grave clothes vacant. If those who oppose Christ wish to silence his disciples, all they had to do would be to produce his body. But even with all of the advancements in technology and DNA detection over the last 2,000 plus years, no one has ever been able to produce his body.
Amen.
Because Jesus' resurrection is true. Another reason we believe is because many saw the resurrected Christ. Many looked at his face. Many touched him. Many heard his voice. And many ate with him. I'm not talking about a glimpse. This was real interaction with Jesus. In John 20, verse 11, we see that Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping and was asked by the two angels who sat one at the head and the other at the feet where Jesus had laid. Why she was weeping? Then she said, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. After she said that, she saw someone standing nearby, but did not know it was Jesus, until he called her by name, Mary, Jesus said. Then recognizing him, she turned to him and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Also, Jesus appeared to his disciples in Galilee. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then in Luke 24, from verse 36, Jesus appears to his disciples and they examined his hands and feet. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 15, verse 3, says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part unto this present remains, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So, my friends, the evidence of his resurrection is clear. It's also clear because he lived, that the lives of the disciples were revolutionized. Although some might have feared and denied him at the time of his arrest, they feared no more in their proclamation of the risen Christ. And most of them gave their very lives for their belief. We also know he is risen because of the millions today who can testify to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us know people for whom we prayed for many, many years, nearly to the point of giving up on them. But we soon learned never, ever to give up on anyone. For we saw a change that only God alone could do in the life of that individual. For the Holy Spirit of God broke through to them, convicted them of their sin, brought them to repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they began a new life as a new person, one of joy instead of unhappiness, one of peace instead of misery, one filled with hope instead of despair, one filled with love instead of hate, one filled with forgiveness instead of vengeance, one filled with kindness instead of selfishness. This is why Jesus came and died and rose again, so that we can experience full salvation.
Amen.
Nothing, no one, nor any situation is so difficult that he cannot change it. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And nothing can ever separate us from God's love. The Apostle Paul said it in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So not only is there biblical and historical evidence of Jesus' resurrection, but we who have been saved are living proof of his grace and power. That is why we're so excited today.
Amen.
That is why we rejoice. Because we have good news.
Amen.
He lives.
He lives.
He lives.
Amen.
And we too shall live eternally.
Amen.
The tomb is empty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is alive.
Yes.
The story is told, according to an article in the Leadership magazine, of a little boy named Philip, who was born with Down syndrome. He attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls, typical of that age. The children did not readily accept Philip with his differences. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, though not quite fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought containers, and each child received one. And they were told to go outside, find some symbol of new life, and put it in the container. They got back to the classroom, and they shared their new life symbols one by one. Surrounded by the children, the teacher opened them one at a time. After each one, whether a flower or a butterfly or a leaf, the class would respond with a surprising ooh or ah. And then suddenly the children exclaimed, "That's stupid. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip immediately spoke up, "That's mine. Philip, you didn't. You don't ever do things right, Philip," the students retorted. "There's nothing there." "I did so do it," Philip insisted. "I did so do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty." A stunning silence followed, and from then on, Philip became a fully respected member of the class. You see, Philip had a real understanding of what Easter is all about. The empty tomb represents new life. You see, my friend, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, because Adam and Eve sinned, we're all born in sin. And as a result, we're separated from God, who is altogether holy and who cannot abide in sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's what we truly deserve. Not just physical death, but spiritual death and separation from God. But thanks be to God that the remainder of that verse in Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord."
Amen.
You see, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can experience new life. John said in John 10:10, Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, there's an ugly creature called a caterpillar. It is boring. It moves slowly. And it looks like something you just want to step on. Then one day God begins a change in that caterpillar's life. A transformation begins to take place. The process of the change may be time consuming, but one has to be patient for the process to be completed. The caterpillar enters its cocooning stage. It's now even uglier than before on the outside. But you see, God is doing his wonderful work on the inside. You know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Because one day, the cocoon opens up, and suddenly a beautiful butterfly emerges and flies away. It's not a caterpillar dressed up in a pretty color. It's now a butterfly. A butterfly is a brand new creature which was born out of the caterpillar. When we come to Jesus, it does not matter if our life is ugly with sin. God will begin to do a new work in your life. He begins the process of transformation in our lives. But we must be patient, for he wants to shed the old man and make all things new. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah says, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The new believer is given a fresh start, a new beginning. We say he's born again, because all things are passed away and all things become new. He's a new creature, a brand new creature, free of the bondage of sin. My friends, this is good news. It's good news which we cannot keep to ourselves. It's not enough to be saved and on our way to heaven. We must tell somebody. Yes. Tell someone else of what Jesus has done for us. We are commanded to go and tell the wonderful truth of God's amazing power to all who will listen. In verses 19 and 20 of our same Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This Easter morning, you're here. That's good. Even if it's the only time you've been to church this year, you are here. And that is good. Today you have heard the gospel. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to go back to being a caterpillar? Or do you want the freedom of a butterfly? I invite you today to repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Jesus Christ is our living Lord and Savior. He has the power to resurrect us from death into everlasting life. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." My friend, there is no other way for you to be saved but through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't save yourself. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So salvation is not by works. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You cannot inherit it because your parents were Christians. Each man will be accountable for his own soul. All the money you have in the world cannot buy it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I invite you today to surrender your all to Jesus and let him begin a new work in you. Don't wait to clean up your life. Come to him just the way you are and let him do the cleaning up. Amen. You know, the thief beside Jesus on the cross did not have time to go clean up. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today you can be assured of your salvation if only you will surrender your all to him. So I invite you to step out from your seat during the singing of the invitational hymn. Make your way down this aisle this wonderful Easter Sunday morning and say, "Lord, I surrender my all to you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and be Lord and Master of my life." Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you for speaking to us this morning and for reminding us that you are the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by you. We thank you that the tomb is empty. We rejoice today. And Lord, at this time I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice who does not experience the joy that comes from knowing you as Lord. Have your own way, O Holy Spirit, even now, in such a heart. Give them wisdom to understand that this is what they must do before it's too late. Give them the courage to step out, walk down this aisle, and receive forgiveness. Receive everlasting life. I give you thanks, Lord. I give you all praise and all glory, because you alone are worthy. And I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 275, "I Surrender All."